like Brother Vincent said the other day, and he preached to one, but I'll try to be brief and short. And there are 10 signs to know when you're in for a long sermon, by the way, and let me give them to you. Number one, there's a water cooler beside the pulpit. The pews have camper hookups. You overhear the pastor telling the sound man to have a few dozen extra tapes on hand to record the message. The preacher has brought a snack to the pulpit. The preacher breaks for an intermission. The bulletins have pizza delivery and takeout menus on them. When the preacher asks the deacon to bring in his notes, they roll in the filing cabinet. The choir loft has recliners instead of pews. Instead of taking off his watch and laying it on the pulpit, the preacher turns over a 4-foot hourglass. And the number one reason when you know it's a long message, the preacher says, this will be a short message. What Brother Vincent said the other day, wasn't it? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and Titus. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I love the Bible. Love the old Bible. We used to sing that song. My kids did. My son used to sing it. That blessed old book. We'd sing that old, I love the old Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 1, just verse 10. We could read a bunch of them. 1 Timothy 1:10 says this, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for man-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. I'm going to preach on sound doctrine tonight. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. That phrase occurs 4 times in the Bible. And there's about 15 messages you could preach on it probably. 2 Timothy 4:3 says this. Pick it up verse 2, 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. That's what we're supposed to preach. Be instant in season and out of season. A preacher ought to be able to preach at the drop of a hat. You turn your back like you said, he ought to drop the hat. Amen. It's instant. Preach the word, be instant. In season, out of season. Sometimes you're out of season. Sometimes you get up here, man, you don't know what you're going to do, but you still preach. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, we're here, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I got a message on ear-tickling preachers. You've heard people say that, but praise, that's where it comes from. Turn over to the book of Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, preaching on sound doctrine. Titus chapter 1 verse 9, neither 4 times it appears in the Bible. Titus chapter 1 verse 9 says, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Exhortation is preaching. That's what he's talking about. Titus chapter 2 verse 1 says this, but speak thou the things, and he's talking to a preacher there in the book of Titus. He said, speak the things which become sound doctrine. The word doctrine, it means teaching, it means learning and knowledge, it means the truth of the gospel. And the first time the word doctrine shows up in the New Testament, you know who says it? The Lord Jesus. It says in Matthew 7:28, and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Matthew 22 verse 23 says, when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Mark chapter 1 verse 22, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority. Doctrine to give you authority and not as the scribes. Mark 1 27, and they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? And what new doctrine is this? Talking about the Lord. Mark chapter 4 verse 2 says, and he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them, in his doctrine. Mark chapter 11 verse 18 says, and all the people were astonished at his doctrine. Mark 12:38, and he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing. Luke 4:32, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. John 7:16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. John 7:17 says, If any man will do his will, he'll know the doctrine. The Lord Jesus Christ was a doctrine preacher. Amen. And I've heard preachers say before, they have said good preaching is not necessarily good doctrine. I beg to differ, my brother. Good preaching is always good doctrine. If it's not good doctrine, shut your mouth up and sit down and let somebody else get on. Amen. Brethren, I'm going to tell you it ought to be sound doctrine, and the Lord Jesus Christ was a doctrinal preacher. If you don't know your doctrine, don't get up in the pulpit. Amen. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and the first thing it said, and it's profitable unto doctrine. And then it goes on to say instruction in righteous correction. But if you don't get your doctrine straight, you can't instruct anybody, correct nobody. You won't know where you're at. And I believe in sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:12, it said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and doctrine. When you preach the word of God, it ought to have doctrine and it ought to be right. Good preaching's always good doctrine. And the word doctrine means teaching. It means what we believe. And as a preacher, as the pastor of this church, part of the responsibility I have is to make sure what goes on in that pulpit is good doctrine. I've talked to Brother Vincent out there and Brother Anthony with me when he drove up and we got talking. And I said, wanted to come in, you know, and speak a little bit, present his work kind of thing. And I said, now, I'm going to tell you right now, I said, we're King James only. I said, we're King James only in the sense, I said, we believe the new versions are satanic counterfeits. We don't just use it, we believe it. And he said, I believe that. I said, we're Baptists now. We're strong Baptists. We believe the Baptist doctrine. He said, I'm Baptist too. And I kind of questioned him, you know, and I sounded good. And I said, okay, you know, we'll come back next Sunday, you know, and I'll let you present your work kind of thing. And I told Brother Zito, I said, I'm going to check him out more. And I got on the internet, saw where he had been some charismatic churches, and I called him up and I said, Brother, I don't think it's a good fit here for us. I said, I told you we're Baptists. He said, well, I'm Baptist too. I said, well, I saw you at some of these charismatic churches. And he said, well, brother, I just go where I can get support. And I said, I understand that. And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll give you some recommendations. And he gave me a preacher's name I know of, and I called the preacher up, you know, and he vouched for him. He said, yeah, he's solid. And I called Brother Vincent back up. I said, okay, everything's a go, brother. I check them out. I want to make sure that they believe like we believe that. I want to make sure they don't have false doctrine. I want to make their doctrine is sound in this church. Amen. And I believe in sound doctrine. And sound means, it means it's solid. It means it's firm. It means it's on solid ground. You ought to know what you believe and you ought to know why you believe it. You shouldn't just believe, you know, like some people. I say, well, you believe that? Why you believe that? I say, well, my grandmama taught me that. Or, you know, well, that's what the preacher says. I mean, man, you ought to be able to go to the Bible. If you believe in eternal security, you ought to be able to go there and find the verses that quick. If you believe salvation by the blood, you ought to be able to go there that quick. You ought to know what you believe, and you ought to know why you believe it. And I'm going to give you a few things about sound doctrine. And that word sound, it means solid, founded in truth, firm, strong, valid. Sound doctrine is what you believe and live by, and bless God if you have to. Sound doctrine is what you can die by. You ought to believe it that much. Now I will give you a few things about sound doctrine. I want to say, first of all, sound doctrine communicates sound words. Sound doctrine communicates sound words. Words. Take your Bible. Turn over to Titus chapter 2. You hear a man speak and you hear a man preach. You ought to know what he's talking about. Somebody comes to this church and they sit here 2 or 3 weeks. They ought to know pretty much what this church believes and what we believe. They ought to not leave scratching their head saying, I wonder what that preacher's talking about. I mean, you come here, you ought to know that preacher's talking about whoever in that pulpit. And sound doctrine communicates sound words. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. What comes out of your mouth ought to be sound words and sound doctrine. Look what it says. Verse 2, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith, in charity, patience, the aged women likewise. Come down to verse 9, verse 8, and it says, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is on the contrary part may be ashamed having no... He said, you ought to be able to speak sound and plain, that if they're not living right, they ought to be ashamed of it right there. Look at verse 15. But these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. And brother, that is sound doctrine. Sound doctrine communicates sound words. You ought to know what you believe, and you ought to know why you believe it. And if you do that and you have sound doctrine, you ought to be able to communicate sound words. You ought to be able to tell it like it is. I used to go down to the mission. And I had a lot of those men through the years come up to me, and Brother Jeff's been down there some. And they come up to me and say, man, preacher, I like to see you come out here because you tells it like it is. And some of them say, I come see some of these preachers that come in here, preacher, I don't know what they're saying. I like it. I can go to Jimmy Hale Mission, and there's those men there, and I get up there and preach to them, and they can listen to it, and they get excited, and they can understand what I'm talking about. Sound doctrine ought to communicate sound words. You ought to hear it, and you don't, shouldn't have to go around, walking around and say, man, I wonder what that preacher was saying. Like that little boy, you know. He was about 6 or 7 years old, one of my favorite jokes, man. He goes to church that day, and he comes home after church, and he walks in the door, and his mama said to him, she said, Tommy, what did the preacher preach about? And he said, I don't know, mama, he didn't say. Now, I've been to some of those churches, amen. I mean, I've sat through some, and I'm wondering what in the world's going on here. Did I take a left turn or something sometimes? I want to tell you, sound doctrine communicates sound words. I like what Brother Vincent was talking the other day. He cracking me up, man. Talking about them black people, you know. That was funny. And he said, I get with some of them, and he got that accent. He said, I get some of my black brethren, and he said, I can't understand what they're saying. He said, they always say, man, this man, well, man, we'll have a man, well, he said, I don't know what they're saying. I've been around preachers like that, Brother Zito. They're up at man, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what they're saying. Sound doctrine ought to communicate sound words. You ought to know what they're saying. If you know what you believe and you know why you believe it, there shouldn't be no wiggle worm. I mean, you come in here next week, you ought to hear the same thing. Maybe a different flavor, but it's sound doctrine ought to communicate sound words. I heard about a lady one time, she had a Sunday school class. She was trying to give them an object lesson. And she was trying to, you know, show them some things, trying to give them an egg. And she said, I'm going to describe something. And she said, I'm going to describe it, and I want you to raise your hand when you figure out what it is. And so she said this. She said, this thing, it lives in trees. She waited. Nobody raised her hand. She said, it eats nuts. Nobody said anything. No hands went up. She said, it's gray and has a long, bushy tail. Nobody raised her hand. And she's scratching her head. She said, and it jumped from branch to branch. She waited. Nobody raised her hand. And she said, it chatters and it flips its tails when it's excited. Nobody raised her hand. Finally, one little boy looked, whispered to the next, and he said, I know the answer must be Jesus, but he said, it sure sounds like a squirrel to me. I mean, I've been to some churches like that, you. I've heard of preachers like that. I said it. He must be talking about Jesus, but it sounds like a squirrel. I mean, sound doctrine ought to communicate sound words. Brother, when the preacher gets up, you ought to know what's going on. You don't have to agree with it, but you ought to know it. Take your Bible, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Apostle Paul writing here. I like preachers that tell it like it is. I like some of these old mountain men, like old Carl Lackey. He's one of my favorite preachers. Man, that old preacher, he is skiing your hide, man. Son, you didn't wait. We got a tape on the Ohio I told you about. As soon as he starts preaching, after about 5 minutes, they're running down the altar, man. They didn't wait till he gets through. They're coming down there, man. He's skiing your hide, boy. Old Lackey, I've heard him preach. You might not like what I said. You might get mad, but bless you, honey, you won't leave here and say, I didn't understand what he said. You know why you left? Because you did understand. That's why you left. That's what's wrong with a lot of folks. They do understand it. Look what Paul wrote over there, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says this. Paul was a learning man. He said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope. You know what that is? That's sound doctrine. Paul said, seeing then that we have such great hope, we use great plainness of speech. That was an educated man. Flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6, Paul says this, but though I be rude in speech, not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you. When he's saying, I'm rude in speech, you know what he said? Brother, I'm going to tell it to you like it is. Amen. And he was an educated man there that day. Sound doctrine communicates sound words. You ought to know what the preacher says. 2 Timothy 1 verse 13 says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. I like them old preachers, man. They tell it like it is. One of my favorite was an old preacher named Sam Jones. He's an old time Methodist. When I got saved, I started reading all these preachers. And I'd go to these old bookstores and give them a list of books I was looking for down in Pensacola and up here, and some of these people would look for them. Most of them you couldn't find, but a lot of them were Sam Jones's books. Sam Jones was born in Oak Bowery, Alabama, 1847, died in 1906, one of the greatest pulpit preachers that ever lived. He was an old lawyer before he got saved, an old drunk from Georgia, out in Georgia, lawyer at the time. And he said this, Sam Jones said, when I first started preaching, I was afraid I'd make somebody mad. He said, after I preached a while, I was afraid I wouldn't. Amen. Sound doctrine ought to communicate sound words. Sam Jones said this. He said, God keep me dead, honest, and telling and dealing with souls. He said, well, I want to lay my tatter on the rail and aim straight at you. And he said, if I hit you on the side, I did not mean to hit you there. I mean to hit you square in the head. He said, if you think I hit you accidentally, he said, you never made a greater mistake in your life. I hit you with malice and forethought. Amen. That's the way them preachers were. He said, a great many people object to appointed preaching because it pains them, they say. He said, this reminds me of the story of an old lady whose daughter's toothache. She went for the dentist. He came out with a big pair of old-fashioned forceps, and the old lady screamed out, said, don't put that in my daughter's mouth. Pull that tooth out with your fingers. Sam Jones said, he said, it'd be mighty nice if I could, but bless your old soul. He said, I'm about to take this old gospel forceps out and gonna pull all your teeth out with it right here. He is an old timer. He said, if anyone thinks he can't stand the naked truth rubbed on a little thicker and faster than he ever heard it before, he better leave right now. Those soul preachers, they commuted sound words. Sound doctrines always communicate sound words. You know what, nowadays, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know what's going on nowadays? People don't want sound doctrine. They don't want to hear sound doctrine. They want to hear Joel Osteen. That's what I want to hear. They want to, people love a lie. The Bible says they love a lie. And you know what they want to hear? They want to hear somebody talk about how good and sweet you are. They want to talk about how you can reach your potential. They want to talk about you, how you can get your self-esteem. They don't want sound doctrine. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 said this, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke about long-suffering in doctrine. Look what it says. For the time will come. We're right now. They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itch. Look what it says. They will not endure. You have to endure sound doctrine. You know what sound doctrine does? It'll hit you right in the head, like Sam Jones said. Right? I'm not trying to step on your toes tonight. I didn't try to step on your toes this morning. I tried to step on your heart and jump up and down on it and try to get you right with God. Amen. That's what sound doctrine does. Tries to get hold of you. Say the last day. They'll not endure sound doctrine. But look what it says. They shall heap. Pile it on, brother. Heap. They get a pile of teachers. Having itching ears, just like Joel Osteen. That joker bought the Compass Center out there where they played basketball. 30,000 people come to see him, and he has three services. Millions watch that joker on TV. Like I told you about the man I went to visit the hospital that time, 70-something years old. Old guy with a beard there. Talked to him there in the hospital. I said, "You saved?" He said, "Well, I hope so." I said, "I hope so too, are you?" He said, "I don't know for sure." He said, "I listen to Joel Osteen every Sunday." What he told me. I said, "What did Joel Osteen tell you to do to get saved?" He said, rubbed his beard. He said, "I don't know." That's the truth. I said, "Would you like to show you how to be saved?" I led the guy to the Lord, right? 77 years old. You say what? They don't have sound doctrine. Sound doctrine communicates sound words. You ought to know what the preacher says. Romans, take your Bible, turn over to Romans 16. Romans chapter 16. You got to watch it nowadays, brethren. That's why you got to stay in this old book. Stay in this old book. I don't believe a word I ever tell you. You get in that book and check it out. Let God be true, but every cotton-picking man on the planet a liar. Amen. Every one of them. Don't trust me. It's too important. Get in that book. I don't trust any of them, man. You see me a lot of time when there's a preacher there. If I hear some, I'll pull out my note card and write it down and check him out. So why? I believe this right here. Look at Romans chapter 16, verse 17, Paul writing, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, which you have learned, and avoid them. For they are they which serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and with good words and fair speeches they deceive the hearts of the simple." With good words and fair speeches. I'm going to tell you, preaching's not always good word and fair speeches. Sometimes it's a knife just right in your gut sometimes. In fact, that word for sermon is a word that means to be stabbed, what it means. The Bible says over in Jeremiah, "Cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood." Over there. Sound doctrine communicates sound words. Sometimes I've heard preachers, so have you sometimes, and you hear it and you just go, "That don't sound right." It ought to be sound right. How do you hear him? Is he Arminian? Is he Baptist? Is he Pentecostal? Is he Holy Ghost? Is he Methodist? Is he Episcopalian? Is he Presbyterian? What is he talking about? I mean, they go all over the place. I heard a guy preach one time for 2 hours. My wife remembers. She left. I said, "That guy didn't believe a word he said. That guy was so far off the mark, all over the place. He didn't know where he was, even what planet he was on, man." I never heard such a mess in a Baptist church. Turned out he was having an adultery affair for 6 years with his secretary. I know what the problem was then. Sound doctrine communicates sound words. 2 Timothy 1:13 said, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and which in love in Jesus Christ." And I'll tell you one thing about that, just throw this in here. You don't want those new Bibles don't have sound words in them. Brother, this old blessed book right here, this King James Bible, is sound words. Amen. Rudolf Flesch, he's a leading researcher and authority on readability studies. He's the one that wrote the book, Why Johnny Can't Read. He's a guy that authored the famous Flesch Kincaid reading statistics. He said this, the best in his book, The Art of Plain Talk, he said, the best example of very easy prose is the King James Bible is the best easy there is. He said this in the book, The Story of English.
said this, the author there, the King James Bible was published in the year Shakespeare began work on his last play, The Tempest. Both the play and the Bible are masterpieces of English, but there's one crucial difference between them. William Shakespeare ransacked the lexicon. The whole King James Bible uses a bare 8,000 different words. It's a sound words in that book. You know, when these men translated this Bible, most people don't know this. They translated that Bible, then they got down and they sat down and they took this Bible, every one of them. One crew would translate it, then another team would sit down, and you know what they'd do, Miss Carol? She's talking about they read the Bible out loud. They would read it out loud and they graded it for its sound, and if it didn't sound right, they'd change it. And this Bible was translated by those translators to sound right, because the Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, the King James Bible, they said it's the English, it's the easiest piece of English literature known to memorize. There's a rhyme to it. It sounds like it does. There are sound words, sound doctrines in this book. Sound doctrine communicates sound words. I want to say this evening, sound doctrine calibrates a sound heart. The word calibrate, it means that when you take something and you measure it and you take and you line it up and you get it in tune and get it in rhythm. The guy that tuned this piano, Brother Winston, if he ever comes back out, Jeff, you need to come watch this guy. It's a work of art, man. He takes that whole thing apart. There's not much left with it. He pulls it all out. And what this guy do, he has a tuning fork. He only has one tuning fork, the key of A, 440. And he'll hit that tuning fork and tune one string on here. Inside, he takes it all out. Then he'll take that one string that's tuned and he'll calibrate every string after that to the one he just tuned. It takes him about 2 hours to tune that piano going through that. And sound doctrine does the same thing. Sound doctrine will calibrate your heart. It gives you a sound heart and it'll be in tune and in rhythm to the Word of God. You know the first thing the doctor does when he walks in his office, pulls out his stethoscope. He walks in there and let's see what this guy. We're in trouble. The first thing he wants to hear is that heart, isn't it? How many they can sell by the sound of the heart? When I went to the doctor a couple of weeks ago with the problems I've had, the first thing that guy did is come in there with that stethoscope and stick that thing in there and starts listening. He said, it sounds pretty good. It's ticking. You know what sound doctrine is? It's God's stethoscope to keep your heart sound. Because you know what? You get messed up doctrinally, you'll be worried like everything. Man, you'll be scared to get out of bed. Amen. I talk to Christians like that. They're scared to death. They're about to fall from grace. Oh my goodness gracious. Preacher, I don't know that I can make it. I think I might have fallen for grace. You need some sound doctrine. I talk to them all the time, man. Oh no, I think, preacher, I might have lost it. Oh no, I don't know if I was one of the elect that was elected for the foundation of the earth. I don't know if I was one of, I don't know if the Holy Spirit drew me when He drew me. I don't know if I repented when I, they get psychotic. You say, sound doctrine to calibrate a sound heart. I'm not worried to go into hell. I'm like that little boy. We got saved. And they were giving him a hard time one time. And they were saying he's about 6 or 7 years old. He knew that verse. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And a man told him he was giving a hard time. He said, what if you die and go to hell? What if you make a mistake? And that little boy, he didn't know much, but he knew this. And he said, well, if I die and go to hell, Jesus is going with me. Because he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he said, where Jesus said, there is no hell. You know what that is? That's sound doctrine right there. I mean, sound doctrine to calibrate a sound heart. I can go to bed tonight. Bless God. If God takes me home, you can just shout and sing and celebrate that old preacher made it. You know what that is? Sound doctrine. I'm not worried about losing it. I'm not worried about falling from grace. Bless God, I'm sitting in that great big old hand and you measure the hollow of the world in, and I know I'm saved. Sound doctrine calibrates a sound heart. Like that doctor one time went to that little girl, you know, and this doctor was a pediatrician. And this little girl is a little bitty girl. She grew up in Sunday school. And the doctor took his stethoscope, put it there, and he was going to kind of calm her down a little bit, let her hear it, you know. So he put it on her ears, and he stuck it and put it on her heart. And she was going, beating. And he took it out. He said, you know what that was? She said, was that Jesus knocking in there? Hey, that kid was smart. That's sound doctrine, brother. Sound doctrine calibrates a sound heart. It'll keep that heart rhythm. You know what? A sound heart is a healthy heart. Turn over to Proverbs 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Sound doctrine calibrates a sound heart. Look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. It says this, Proverbs 14. Boy, this Bible's amazing. Whoever wrote this Bible sure did know a lot of stuff, didn't they? Look what he says in here. It's what every doctor's trying to figure out. Proverbs 14:30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. You know what they do? They put that stethoscope on you, and listen to that heart, and if it's sound, everything's okay. That's what the first thing they do. A sound heart tells you that you're healthy, and a sound heart tells you when you're spiritually healthy, and that sound doctrine will calibrate and keep that heart in tune with God. That's why you like it. Man, you can go to bed at night. You don't have to worry about it. You're not in and out of church. You're not wavering all over the place. You're not looking for every tossed about, every little wind tossed doctrine, every rare. You're solid and you're set. And that heart's calibrated just in tune with the Lord. I tell you, that's one of the greatest feelings in the world. That's one of the greatest feelings in the world, Miss Liz. Miss Liz snuck in the back there. I mean, just to know, like that song, I come to the garden. And he walks with me and he talks with me and tells me I'm here. Brother, when that heart is sound and tuned with God, man, you can just enjoy the day no matter what happens. You can just walk and talk with the Lord and sound doctrine to calibrate that sound heart. If sound doctrine communicates sound words and it calibrates a sound heart, I want to say sound doctrine tonight, it celebrates a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Everybody knows this verse. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Bible says we're to fear the Lord. Amen. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But God didn't give us the spirit of fear. That spirit of fear is not from the Lord. God gave us a sound mind, and sound doctrine celebrates a sound mind. I'm glad I know I'm saved. I'm glad I know that I'm saved. I'm glad I know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad my mind right now is set on Him. There's no wavering to it. You go to some of these churches, and I talk to some of these people and knocking on doors, and Miss Tara was talking about it this morning. A lot of these people, you knock on doors and you ask them they're saved, you can tell by their answer whether they're saved or not. I mean, they got the right words. Y'all don't talk about. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I guess so. I believe so. Yeah, I think so. I'm saved. How you died right now, you go to heaven. Well, I'm thinking about that. Never thought about it like that, though, you know. You say, what is it? That's not a sound mind right there. Brother, I like it when we talked to Miss Mary the other day, Brother Jeff. She jumped up, told us when she got saved, told us when all her kids got saved, told us all about her life, where she went to church. Oh, bless God, that lady was a sound mind on her. May have been 88 years old, brother, but she had it up here, man. She walked and she talked with him. Sound doctrine. It'll celebrate a sound mind. I like to know what I believe, and I like to know why I believe it. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15, verse 28, but when the Comforter has come, that's the Spirit God gave us, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. We don't have the spirit of fear, but sound doctrine will calibrate that Holy Ghost in your head and give you a sound mind, and you know what you believe. Because I'm going to tell you, You probably done figured this out. You get out in the world, you get out there, once you get saved, every little jackrabbit on the planet is going to come try to mess you up. You notice that? I'm telling you. You'll work with these people, Brother Don, and they don't act like they're saved. I've had some like that. You couldn't tell them they ever mentioned anything about the Lord. You get saved and tell them, I got saved. And the next thing they'll come up to you and say, well, do you have the Holy Spirit? Did you speak in tongues? They'll show up, won't they? They'll show up and try to mess you up. They'll show up and say, hey, do you keep the Sabbath? I mean, you better know what you believe. When I got saved, the guy led me to the Lord was a Seventh-day Adventist. First church I ever went to was a Seventh-day Adventist. I went there several times. I read my Bible. After reading my Bible over there, saw where it said, let no man judge you in the holy day or Sabbath. I said, look here. Look what this thing says, man. He said, well, don't believe that. You know, let's go back over here to the Old Testament where it says to keep the Sabbath. After a while, I realized those guys were crazy. They're trying to take me back to the Old Testament. Bless God, I want to get over here where Jesus was. Amen. Sound doctrine celebrates the sound mind. Bible says over there in Ephesians chapter 4:15, says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby thy lying wait to deceive. Isn't it amazing when you get saved and you try to walk with the Lord, every devil in the cupboard comes out, wants to be your buddy, try to straighten you out, tell you what you need to believe. I'm telling you, it happens. I've talked to a bunch of people. I mean, people that I work with have no idea. They're saved. They get saved. Start trying to walk with God. Here they come. They're their best buddies. Tell them all this kind of stuff. You know what? You better get sound doctrine. Because they'll try to deceive you every sleight of man. They'll toss you like a wind to and fro. It's in every doctrine. I've seen Christians like that. I mean, the wind blows and they bow and they've been with it. I've seen them in this church. I've seen them in this church come in, glory to God. They get excited. I've seen every church I've ever been in. Ah, oh, preacher, that's the best preaching I've ever heard in my life. Whenever I hear that, I go, whoa, whoa. When they come in, they say, that's the best preaching I've ever heard, man. When they say it, I go, whoa, whoa here now. I'm not that good. They're trying to trick me. And it won't be long that they find something and try to straighten you out and try to tell you, and if you don't listen, they're out the door, good riddance. Sound doctrine to celebrate a sound mind. You better know what you believe, and you better know why you believe it. It'll celebrate a sound mind. A lot of Christians, they worry about everything. I remember I was in Bible school, and I was a first-year student. Had a third-year student. He lived in the trailer park with me. I'll never forget it. Name was Randy Rogers. You remember Randy Rogers? Remember him? He's a good witness for the Lord. He came over one day. I was over at lunch, my little trailer. And he said, knocked on the door. I came in. He said, brother, I need to talk to you about something. I said, okay, what? What you got? He said, I don't know if I'm saved. I said, what? What? You don't know if you're saved? I said, are you joking? He said, I don't know if I believe what I believe. That was what he said. I don't know if I believe what I believe. I said, well, you believe now, don't you? He said, yeah. I said, it's done. Done deal. What's the deal to worry about? Take it right now. Pick it up. Go with it. Amen. Quit worrying about it. People worry about it. Did I repeat what I repeated? Did I believe what I believe? I don't know. Did I know enough? Did I know this? Oh, no, no. Did that preacher confuse me? I don't know. Listen, sound doctrine to celebrate a sound mind. Bible says, over thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You know what a lot of Christians do? They just worry. Get in that blessed old book. John said over in 1 John 4, 5:13, these things I've written unto you that I've written unto you that I've written. Read them. These things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. You say, how? By the things he just wrote me. Sound doctrine celebrates a sound mind. It's wonderful to know you're saved, isn't it? It's wonderful to know you're safe and secure, isn't it? It's wonderful to know whatever happens. You know how worried I am about this presidential election? Could I just be honest with you? See that? Can you see them between those? That's how concerned. I don't care. You got a quarter on you. You got a case quota. Nickel. You got a coin. You got a coin. Is everybody in this church broke? Who got a coin with me? Michelle's the only person in this church with the money. Man, we're in trouble. All right. I can't tell. Okay, this is tails. I'm going to toss it in there. Heads, Trump wins. Tails, Hillary. Okay, we're going to settle it right now, okay? No more talking about it. It's done deal. All right, heads, Trump wins. Tail, Hillary, okay? What is it, brother? On the edge. Tails, Hillary just won. It's over now, folks. Election is done. Forget about it. Now start serving God and get that sound mind back and just quit worrying about it. Amen. Sound doctrine celebrates a sound mind. I don't worry about that stuff, man. I think about John Prescott, that old fellow that lives in his van, goes around the country passing out tracts. Got throat cancer. I'll never forget when he sent me that text message. You know what he's doing? Praising God because he had throat cancer. He's praising God about it. He's saying, thank God, hallelujah. He said, I'm going to get to witness to all these doctors in here. And he said, man, what a blessing. Every text message, I read some of them to you. Every text message he got, you know what he's doing? Thanking God for getting up there and letting him witness to all these people. He led a bunch of them to the Lord. You know what that is? He's not worried about that stuff. That sound doctrine celebrates a sound mind. I think of Brother Tommy Tillman coming in here. 14 heart stents. Cancer. All his teeth pulled out. Two of his daughters died right unexpectedly and 50 years old. His wife sitting over there blind and sitting in a chair. He's over in Thailand, the lepers. And that's one of the happiest guys you ever seen in your whole life. You say, why? Sound doctrine celebrates a sound mind. He's happy to be saved. I think of Diane Hudson over there at Glory Land. She and I grew up together when we got saved. She's had 3 bouts. Stage 4 breast cancer. 3-step bouts. Serious stuff. She's had so much chemo and stuff, they've had to do open heart surgery. It cooked her heart. She's had a stroke here recently when I was out there, and she's still serving God. Still got the biggest smile, the biggest glow you ever seen in your life. You say, why? Sound doctrine celebrates a sound mind. She's not worried about that stuff. She knows God's in control. Sound doctrine to celebrate. A sound mind to communicate sound words, and it celebrates a sound mind. Acts chapter 20, I'll close with this. Apostle Paul. He said, now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. Paul was a young man, but he didn't get old. He didn't grow old, by the way. He said, I go bound in the Spirit of Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city that bonds and afflictions abide me. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going, but all I know, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, by the way. Jesus said He's the Comforter. And Paul said, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, told me that everywhere I go, bonds and afflictions are waiting for me. What a blessing. Amen. But none of these things move me, he said. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And he told him this, now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God. He said, I'll see your face no more. And he didn't. What he's saying, I'm telling you, a sound doctrine celebrates a sound mind. Paul said over there, I don't care what I go through. I know what's going to happen. The Holy Ghost told me I'm going to be in jail. I'm going to be beaten, all that. He said, doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me. Another time he says over in the book of Timothy, he said, for I know whom I believed in. He said, I'm persuaded. Know whom I believe in. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. You know what that is? That's a sound mind. I like it. I mentioned earlier when he got over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And he said that he's ready to get to the head. And he said, the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished the course. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And he said, let's go. Let's go. You know what that is? That's a sound mind. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the doctrine you've given us and the truths you've given us, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that we can have a sound mind and a sound heart and communicate with sound words. We don't have to mish and mash what we believe, but we can tell it like it is, not be ashamed of it, Lord. Thank you for the folks that's come out tonight, Lord. Pray your blessing on the week coming up, Lord, and help us to be a witness for you wherever we might be, Lord, and speak up for you, Lord, and be an epistle for you, be a letter wherever we might be, Lord. And help us, Lord God, to just realize, Lord, how fast the day's going, how quick the time's going, Lord, how quick these weeks go by, how quick these days go by, and Lord, one day it's all going to end, Lord, and that day, God, we're going to wish we'd done more. Help us to be convicted of that and conscious of that, Lord, the time is fast fleeting. And Lord, we love you tonight. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.